What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
Are you intrigued by true paranormal stories? Do you crave tales of the strange, the dark, and the mysterious? Tune into our new podcast, Bump in the Night Chronicles, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Each episode dives into chilling paranormal phenomena and spine-tingling urban legends. From ghostly encounters to hair-raising myths, we explore the unknown. So if you're brave enough and not easily scared, subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com for ad-free episodes.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. Gorge!
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Don.
Welcome to the podcast.
Okay.
Produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Check out our social media. We have YouTube Shorts, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
We have Mickey with us today.
Apparently, we do.
We're talking about Mickey. Might as well, all right?
And, yes, you know. True. I did not expect that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're wondering why it was Welcome to the Jungle, it's because Axl Rose sounds legitimately like Mickey Mouse now. So,
does he?
I have no idea.
He does.
Oh, wow. I'll have to look that up.
Yep.
Piqued my curiosity.
Look it up. Look up his performance at the Back to the Beginning Aussie farewell thing.
Okay. I'll have to look that up for sure.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have Axel, but we are talking about Mickey this week. So
we are.
Mickey and Friends. That's the official category is Mickey and Friends. And see. When you looked it up on Disney Plus, I didn't count how many little shorts come up, but I was like a bit overwhelmed the first time I logged in and looked at it because I was trying to put my list together. And then I was like, I'm going to back out of this and do this later because, yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
But we did it. I narrowed it down. Eventually we got there. So, okay. So this week we're going to kick off with the original Mickey Short. Well, the original release, Mickey Short, we'll say that.
Yeah.
Steamboat Willie from 1928. Yay. So everybody knows that, right? Everybody knows yep. that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this one, we had two directors, Walt Disney and Ub Iwerks, on both of these. And we've got Mickey, Minnie, and Pete as our main characters. And then, of course, Walt was the voice for everybody. So he did Mickey, Minnie, and Pete as the voice, because this was the very first like major sound cartoon. So, yeah, we didn't have all these voice actors here. But if you've never seen it, Mickey is working on a steamboat, hence Steamboat Willie, the name of it. And he's under Captain Pete, who is not very nice. He's not a nice boat captain. Tyrannical is the word that, yes, Google Gemini used to describe him. So I think that's accurate.
I agree with it.
Yes, I do. I do think that's accurate. Minnie Mouse also appears in this, as I said. So when we're thinking of Mickey and we celebrate his birthday, they always refer to the release date of Steamboat Willie. But Minnie has the exact same birthday as Mickey, just FYI for everybody, because I feel like she gets slighted. So I just want to give her credit. And Pete, technically. But no one really cares about Pete. Sorry, Pete.
There you go.
Sorry, Pete. But, you know, if we're going to celebrate birthdays, we have to make sure that we're celebrating Mickey and Minnie, even though Mickey is like, you know, the big cheese. I get it.
Yeah.
Just saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Minnie is trying to get on the boat and misses the boat. So Mickey is super helpful and he grabs her by her underwear and pulls her onto the boat with a crane.
Why?
Her underblue. I don't know.
Lift her skirt.
Picks it up. Picks her up. Higher underwear.
He's helping her. That's the only way. Obviously.
It does fix her skirt. You know, at the end, it fixes the skirt, right?
Totally nothing weird about that at all.
No. You know.
No.
Super freaking weird.
I don't know. I don't know why we did that. And then we got the whole bit. Minnie brings like her little.
Oh, I know why. Because it was produced thing. By a bunch of pervy men. That's why.
Wow. That is fair. So Minnie brings sheet music for Turkey in the Straw and her ukulele, and a goat eats it. And then I guess because the goat ate the sheet music, it knows now it has the music in it, so they can just play.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Yeah, I mean,
again,
what
are we doing?
You never eaten sheet music before and then learned music? Like,
and then just play this song? Yeah, when someone used your tail as the, you know, to wind it up.
You are what you eat.
Apparently, definitely for the goat.
Yep.
Yeah. Just another classic. What are we doing? Moment for these cartoons.
And just using all the livestock. I'm like, what the heck are you doing?
I know.
Like,
suddenly,
that was the most disturbing thing I have ever seen.
Mickey's just like, hey, we got the whole band right here. Let me just grab every animal on here and make them into musical instruments. Mickey.
Like, using the udders on a cow or goat or whatever it was.
Yes.
Like, I was like, I'm done. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's a lot going on, you know, in this. And then Mickey at the end gets caught and he gets sent down to cut those potatoes. And you got the bird making fun of him. And he knocks the bird out the window. I was like, Mickey, that is not funny. He thinks it's great when the bird falls into the water. Yeah, Mickey's definitely a bit different nowadays than he was in his debut. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He has changed.
I thought it was really funny to hurt small animals back then.
He had no respect for others. No. He really didn't.
It's so weird. It's,
yeah,
it's like, I'm gonna kick a plane. So funny.
that's Mickey. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Weird.
Makes me worry about who Walt actually was. This came from his mind.
Not for real. Mm-hmm. Who he was and the people he surrounded himself with. Because like they all said he was like, yeah, do this, and they were all like, okay.
I mean, again, this was 1928, so. Times were a bit different, but yes, I agree.
Really?
And we have, I don't think it's this week. Where is the?
You millennials and you Gen Zs with your ticky-tacks and your TikToks and whatever. In our day, we kicked puppies and we liked it. We were tougher back then.
I mean, that's the vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. With Mickey.
You can be tough without kicking a puppy.
Not if you're Mickey, though, apparently.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Poor puppy.
Just saying.
I know, that's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I'm mocking people who say that, by the way.
Clearly.
I know.
Yeah. Oh boy. But yeah, I have more to say on this Walt nonsense, but it'll be when we get to one of the Donald cartoons. And it's
okay.
Yeah, we'll get there. But this is, everyone should watch this one. It is The Way We Met Mickey Mouse. It's the first one to be released. And it made history because it was the first completely post-produced synchronized soundtrack featured on a cartoon. So it was a big deal back in the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everyone should check that out. But
what is that word supposed to be? Superstities?
Supercities? Global supercities? I don't know.
Is that even the right word?
I don't know what word it was trying to say, and I just decided I was going to ignore it because I was like, I don't know what you're doing.
I can't ignore it. What the heck?
But Google certainly was like, it's not a word. Maybe that's where it was going. I don't know.
It's something you say when you don't know what to say.
It had to be like superstardom, not superstitions.
Maybe global super. I don't know, because Google didn't know the word either. It kept trying to say superstitions. And I was like, well, that's not the word that Gemini was trying to say. But I don't know what it was.
It had to be like superstardom or something.
That would probably make more sense.
We're going to go with superstardom because I just can't, as an English major, I
just left it because I was like, I'm not going to read it.
I'm changing it.
No. Go for it. That's fine.
There we go.
Okay. Well, let's move on to Playful Pluto. We'll just leave Mickey. We'll leave Mickey for a minute. Mickey's in this one, but Playful Pluto came out in 1934, directed by Burt Gillett. And we've got Mickey and Pluto in this one. Walt Disney is still voicing Mickey Mouse at this time. And Pinto Colvig is Pluto. His name will pop up a lot. So just FYI, but apparently he's Pluto in this one. I liked this one because Mickey's outside with Pluto trying to just do yard work or whatever outside. And Pluto is like, pay attention to me. What are you doing? Let's play. And I'm like, that is my life.
That's on point.
Yes. This is my life right here. Everything that Pluto does.
Dog being a dog.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate, Mickey. It was a lot.
Yeah, I could too.
Every little thing. I mean, Pluto first starts with the hose and he's barking at. And I'm like, yeah, let's bark at the nothing, the hose, the inanimate object. That totally makes sense, right? And then let's cause, you know, like the hole in the screen. Great, super. And now there's flies in the house because
everywhere. You made
the hole in the screen. And then, you know, Mickey's trying to go in the basement. I guess before the hole in the screen, but Mickey tried to go in the basement to fix it and has Pluto. First of all, why would you have the dog hold the flashlight, Mickey? I'm just saying.
I don't know.
You knew you can't trust that dog. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he swallows it. And typical dog doesn't know what's happening, so we're going to run away, even though it's inside of you.
The hiccups.
I was like, what are we doing? Poor Pluto. He doesn't understand. No,
flashlight gives you real bad hiccups. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. It happens, right?
It happens.
Horrible gas attack. It's rough, you know?
Yeah. And then you got that whole issue where you can see your total insides every time you hiccup. I mean, what a nightmare. When it happens.
Nightmare. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
Horrible on the bowels. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, luckily he coughed it up. So, you know, he didn't have to go through that. Thankfully.
Yeah, that's good.
Thankfully. Yeah. Oh, but yeah. And then he gets stuck on the flypaper. And I was like, this is exactly what my dogs would do. I could picture this 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Yeah. So, but apparently on top of just, you know, being memorable, as far as a cartoon goes, this short, was animated by legendary animator Norm Ferguson, and the flypaper sequence demonstrated for the first time that an animated character could appear to think and reason. And I was like, oh, because Pluto is trying to figure out how do I get unstuck from this. So instead of just having things happen to them and they're just kind of like we've seen before, as we talked about last week with we didn't know what was going on. In this case, Pluto is actually trying to get out of the situation, trying to solve the problem. And I was like, that's kind of cool. I did not know that about this cartoon. So
it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So changing the direction.
Gives them a little personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Not just complete chaos. There's mm-hmm. some order to the chaos. Right.
Exactly. You're starting to get a little bit more mm-hmm. to the cartoons. So I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Mickey's birthday party from 1942. This one was a little all over the place to me. So this is directed by Riley Thompson. And we've got Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, Clarabelle Cow, and Horace Horsecollar all in this one. So I liked it because there's a big group dynamic going on.
It's a great name.
Horsecollar?
Yeah. Horsecollar, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it really is. Mm-hmm. And he's underutilized. We don't see him a whole lot. Even back in the day. No, this is one of his few appearances. So we've got Walt Disney, of course, who's voicing Mickey. Now we've got a different actor for Minnie. We have a woman, Thelma Boardman. So it's not Walt Disney voicing Minnie in this one. Clarence Nash, who's iconic as Donald. Pinto Colvig is back. He's Goofy. And then Florence Gill is Clarabelle. And I guess Horace didn't talk. I don't really remember, but he's not listed. So I have no idea. So Minnie is throwing a surprise birthday party for Mickey and seems to have no organization to this party, which I found interesting because when Mickey shows up, she tells Goofy to go make the cake. And I'm like, shouldn't you have done that already? Wouldn't you think?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked Goofy to go make the
cake? Of all people?
So most of the what we're seeing is Goofy screwing up the cake over and over again, which apparently he has endless resources to just continuously remake this cake poorly over mm-hmm. and over. And then he finally gets the bright idea to go buy one, which is the smartest thing he does in this entire short at the end of it. But we did get Donald Duck.
Seems about right.
Mm-hmm. Donald shows up in his like Three Caballeros looking outfit. So I thought that was fun for this one. A little callback to that, but he dances with this big chicken. I don't know who she was, but
I don't know.
It was a bit risque as far as the dance goes, I think, mm-hmm. for a cartoon.
Of course.
But apparently this one was a remake of the 1931 black and white short, The Birthday Party. So I didn't know that this was like a remake of an earlier one. Mm-mm. So I don't know if I've ever seen the 1931 birthday party.
I have not. I don't think so. That I know of.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it.
I'm just going to look it up and see if it looks familiar.
Mm-hmm.
No, never.
I don't think I've ever seen that. Mm-mm. So, yeah. But in the end, Goofy drops the cake and it gets all over Mickey, but Mickey's happy about it. So
yeah.
I guess he had a good birthday. So good for you, Mickey.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. Good for you.
Spend your day being covered in cake. I mean, what's
not to love, right? Yeah. Yeah. Right. I don't know. Now we'll move back into a favorite area, which is Donald Duck and Chip and Dale. Always classics.
Ah, here we go.
Yes. So, which, you know what? Like, you know, you can't understand Donald. And I spent so much of these. Like, I rewound one of them because I was like, what is he saying? I'm really
having to understand. Yeah.
No, literally. It's like,
I put captions on.
The captions, I don't think, really fixed it. Yeah.
It helped a little.
It helped a little. Okay. Good to know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I had forgotten because I remember watching him in like the 90s when they remade the DuckTales, and like he mm-hmm. still had that speech that you could understand him a lot better.
Yes.
I forgot mm-hmm. how you couldn't understand anything he was saying back in
no
the day.
No idea. Like, okay, now
you're just sounding like Stitch.
Yeah.
he literally is a
same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Stitch thing. Like Stitch came from Donald or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you understand the concept with just how he's saying it. You don't have to know the words.
Exactly.
Right.
Just context clues is how you get through a Donald cartoon. Because otherwise I have no idea what's happening.
Basically.
Yeah.
Wow, same person directed all of them.
Yes. So all of these were directed by Jack Hanna. And then of course, and all of these were just gonna have Donald Duck and Chippendale, and that's what we've got. So we've got Clarence Nash, Donald Duck, Jimmy McDonald is Chip, and Desi Flynn is Dale.
Okay.
So in the first one, Chippendale from 1947, Donald is cold and he goes outside and he chops down a tree. And, you know, of course, Chippendale live in it. So they're like, what the heck, dude?
What's happening?
You stole my house. What are you doing mm-hmm. with your life? Why would you do that? So chaos ensues because they're trying to get back in and get only like obviously the nuts that they saved up and they went somewhere to stay because, you know, it's winter. They need somewhere to live. But yeah, mm-hmm. it's just a lot of back and forth. This is the first time.
It's about the acorns.
I know, right? And this is the first time the chipmunks receive their names, Chip and Dale. So this is the first time we're mm-hmm. actually naming them. And this is the first time they're explicitly paired against Donald Duck as the primary antagonists, which then, you know, we continued on. And I believe this was the one, too, where they both nice. Had the same colored nose. They're both black, I believe, in this one.
What?
Yeah, double. If you want to double check. No, there was one of these cartoons, and I think it was this one where I was like, where's Dale's red nose? Why is it black? And I think it was this one. I think it was.
I paid much attention to their noses.
You know, I've been a big Chip and Dale fan for like 30 years. So, you know.
Well, they're always different.
In my mind, I always see them as red.
Yeah, because it should be red. But I think this one was the one where I was like, why is Dale's nose is black like his brother?
Hold on. Huh. I'm trying to find a photo.
Yeah.
No, not videos. It is this one.
It is this one? Okay. All right. Because I was going to try and pull it up on Disney Plus. But yeah.
Why?
Yeah, they're the same color. I mean, the nose shape is still different. It's Dale's nose.
Yeah, but Dale's big nose.
Yeah. But yeah. It was black.
But that's wrong.
I guess they changed it later. Because I'm pretty sure all the other ones after this, it was red.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Something else I noticed for this one, which made sense because this is kind of their debut officially as Chip and Dale. So it makes sense that they didn't have it all finalized as far as what the characters would look like. And I'm assuming they changed the nose color to make it even easier to distinguish them.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I did not know they did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just something I noticed when we were watching this one.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize it. My brain just said red.
Yeah, it was not. Because when I was watching, I was like, wait a second. Something's wrong. And then I was like, it's his nose. Why is it black? Why is it black? But yeah, that's like a real good basic introduction to this dynamic, if you're looking for one to watch. All in a Nutshell from 1949.
My gosh.
This one, I love this one. So Donald, for whatever reason, Donald is working at a roadside nut stand. I don't.
Shaped as a nut.
It looks like
very
a nut.
Very important.
Yes. He makes nut butter. I don't know what we're doing on the side of the road, but this is what Donald's doing. And he's like, oh, shoot. I ran out of nuts. I got to go get some nuts. And then, you know, Chip and Dale are saving up their nuts as chipmunks do. And Donald's like, I'm just going to steal them because that's what Donald does.
Can you please stop saying nuts?
Acorns. Say acorns.
You want me to say acorns?
There we go.
Say acorns.
I kind of don't know.
That would actually help,
I kind of want to stick with the nuts thing. I really do now. This has just gone off the rails.
He's running out of nuts, so he's got to go get his nuts, and then he's hiding all his nuts. So he's
gonna hit you with a chopstick.
You shouldn't someone talking about nuts. I'm just here talking about cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Your muffins in the gutter.
Sorry,
Cindy has a dirty mind.
I'm sorry. Okay, so it's an acorn-shaped stand that he works in. Let's fix it. And he sells acorn butter, I guess. Walnut butter. I don't know what he's selling. He's selling something.
It's supposed to be walnuts.
I don't know what this is. Walnuts, I guess. Walnut, I don't know.
Well, it's usually acorns. Like when visual cartoons, it's usually acorns that are like the thing.
But
you can't really like,
looked
I'm
like a walnut.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It was a walnut. Oh, okay. Yeah. So.
But Chip, not Chip, Dale, like when he sees the stand and like is like, he's like, and
it's
falls
a giant
over,
walnut.
I'm like, oh, Dale.
He's like,
typical Dale.
I found the miraculous, the walnut. Yes.
I found the motherland.
It's the mothership of walnuts. It's here. Oh, my gosh.
It's the promised land.
Righto.
Okay. Huh?
We're so off topic. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Are you calling the mothership?
What's that from?
All I heard was, Mitchap, Mido, Edo, but I, what? I don't know.
What? What?
I said, about that time, Mitchap?
I don't.
Righto. You said, our motherland.
Yeah.
Do you not get that reference?
No, I was referencing the thing. I don't recognize what you're referencing.
I'm referencing the end of the world.
So was I, but I don't reckon, I remember that part. I don't remember, Baka Chat, what? Paka Chat, Nate, what?
No, you're speaking Huttese or something? Me about that time, A-Chap. It's the British one when they're on the boat. About that time, A-Chap. Righto. We need to move on. Sammy, keep going.
You were using British slang in an American accent that it just sounded like Huttese, so.
Oh my god. Okay, whatever. Anyways.
About that time, A-Chap, A-Too.
Righto.
Italia Tuga, Watachap, Bonchuga.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
One Chigomba. A young Miku Chamki Troy. Star Wars Month every month.
I was waiting on that.
Every month is Star Wars Month.
I was waiting on that response. I really was. I was.
Okay, so the chipmunks track their acorns, not their nuts, their acorns.
Walnuts.
To the sand.
They're walnuts. They're walnuts.
Whatever.
We don't know what we're doing. They're walnuts.
They're a nut.
No, you can't say that.
Only because Dan keeps thinking of the wrong thing.
Focus with the.
I'm just thinking about D's.
Stop it. Oh my god.
D's nuts?
This freaking cartoon, man.
I want to punch him.
PG. It counts.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay, what else about this one?
I don't even know.
Should we move on to Out of Scale?
Sure. What happens at this one? Hold on.
I don't know.
This is a train set. Okay. Okay.
This is a train set. As these cartoons are.
Okay. Focus. We're just going to move on. All right. So Out of Scale, 1951. All right. So this one, Donald is in his backyard with his miniature model train set with tiny towns and trees. And he's an idiot and he runs into a real tree and he digs it up because he can't just work around it, apparently. So he digs it up, and of course, Chip and Dale live there. So they get upset.
Trees in my way, remove the entire tree.
Exactly what he does. Now this, okay, so Walt Disney had an entire train set in his backyard. So
yeah, I figured this was a Walt Disney, like, call.
Yeah, so I'm like, is this what Walt Disney did? Did he run into a giant tree in the middle of his backyard and he was like, F the chipmunks in it and he took it out? Like, was that the inspiration for this? I don't know. So now,
you know, that
Disney Donald? I don't know.
I would believe a story of him actually doing that. That's funny. That's what's funny.
That's what I was. Yeah. That's what I was wondering, if that's where this came from. They're making fun of him for this. Oh,
possibly.
My god!
Yeah.
But like, listen. So Donald, first of all, didn't have to do all that. That's just doing too much. Okay, number one. Then Chip and Dale are like, bro, you just moved our house. What are you doing? But they move into a new house, right? They find a miniature, cute little home with a bed, and they're perfectly fine. And I'm like, everyone can live in harmony. So Donald goes and he delivers milk to them. And I'm like, look how nice he's being. No. Then Donald's like, you know what I'm going to do? Now I'm going to just screw with them and I'm going to make it rain and then I'm going to make it snow and I'm going to make them come outside. I'm going to make it hot. Why did he have to do all that?
Because
he's Donald.
I'm just saying.
He's such a little.
He did it to him on Chip's Ahoy too.
He's so rude.
He is
really rude. Like,
he honestly, is the worst. Donald.
He is the absolute worst.
No, I want to smack him. I really want to smack him.
This one really annoyed me because
it's unnecessary.
Like,
all this is so uncalled for.
Exactly.
It's one thing to be pushed to your limit and want to like enact revenge. Like, that's Daffy Duck. Like, that's his whole thing.
But that's, you know, also like, the new
existential
that we're
frustration.
Talk about.
Like, yeah.
But he had Donald just is
mean for the sake of meanness. He just gets off on it. He enjoys it.
Yeah. He really does. And I'm like, Donald.
He does.
Bro.
He is not a nice person.
Was Donald your dad's favorite character?
Donald is my mom's favorite and Robbie's. And there's a good reason for
that. Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, great.
That actually makes a lot of sense. I never met
your mom. But...
I think it
kind of tracks with Robbie, actually.
It does track with Robbie, right? I think it's the whole Donald when he loses his mind, you know, and goes off and no one has any idea. I think she just loves that. But that is literally Robbie when he loses his mind. He is Donald Duck. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I could see him doing this. I would be like, why did you move the whole tree? You didn't have to do that. And he would just be like, it was in the way. So I got rid of it. I could see it. I really could. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Unfortunately. Yeah. Yes. I could see it.
That's hilarious.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
And you know what? And this last one, too. So the new neighbor, okay? We've got Donald and Pete. Right. This was interesting because like they turned it into like the news covered it and everything as far as their battle. But it's so it starts off so innocent where Donald moves into his home and they're like, oh, you got to be friends with your neighbors and be friendly. And then Pete comes over
and
the worst neighbor on earth. I'm just like,
literally takes his whole fridge and his silverware and his plates.
First of all, who comes over to borrow ice? I'm just like, what are you doing? Like,
have an ice maker. You might need to, you know.
Oh my god!
I'll return it when I'm done with the ice.
I'll give you the ice back when I don't need it anymore.
I'll give you the ice back when I'm done with it. You know?
Oh my god!
Well, might be only a half of it, but it'll be there. You know.
Yes.
And then he like gets all the leaves over into his yard, and he's like, "You better wake him so it doesn't ruin it."
Oh my god! But I tell you, this is Robbie. This is exactly what he would do with a neighbor like this. He would be like, you know what, bro?
Yeah.
I'm just going to retaliate and retaliate and retaliate to the point where we're building a giant, stupid fence for literally no reason. So, yeah, I related to this one, too. Pretty hard with the Donald.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
I think it's funny at the end, they both end up moving.
They're like, oh, Donald won. Oh, no, it's a draw. He left.
It's a draw. He left too.
Everybody got out of the town. And then I guess Pete ended up next to Goofy. So, you know, there we go.
Poor Goofy.
That's just how the lore continued all the way up into the 90s.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's where Pete ended up. And he still was a terrible neighbor at the end of the day.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the worst. I mean, who's actually worse, Pete or Donald? Like, who's actually worse?
Oh.
I feel like they're just two sides of the same coin, honestly.
But Pete, you know what?
Pete's worse to me, in my opinion.
But Pete, I feel like, knows that he's the worst. Pete doesn't care. Donald sometimes is trying to act like, you know, he's just like goofing around or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, he's horrible, but he sees himself as the victim / good guy.
Yes. Yeah.
Pete knows what, you're right. Pete's a dirtbag and he knows
what he's doing.
Yeah. Pete's just like, I just suck. Right. Just live with it. It is what it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can respect that, Pete, you know.
Oh, gosh.
Live your life, you know.
Yeah.
Unless it affects me, then get your life out of here.
Exactly.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, leave him alone. He'll leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Hope so. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. My cheeks hurt from laughing.
Yeah,
it just went downhill from the walmart stand.
Oh man, that was fun. That was great.
It was good.
Yeah, these were good. Yeah,
tremendous fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing more Mickey and Friends next week, right?
Yeah, we're getting into all the Goofy stuff. Yes.
What are we doing? Goofy gymnastics, double dribble, how to play football, how to swim, canine caddy. Mickey's trailer and Through the Mirror.
Yes, Through the Mirror is a trippy one.
Is it Alice in Wonderland-esque?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fun.
Yes.
Oh, it's thunderstorms all day today.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to take a nap.
Well, you don't have anywhere to be, do you?
I have to be at the bookstore tonight, but it's like a 30-second walk that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. It's no one will come in tonight since it's raining.
Exactly. Yeah. Somebody's will be quiet.
I'll be reading the whole time, so it'll be nice.
Still, it's just like thunderstorm. You just want to be inside all day. I get
and
that.
Nap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got anything else with the Mickey and Friends?
I do not.
Okay.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, Pixie Dusters, I hope you enjoyed the craziness. I don't even know how much of it Sammy kept in. So if she didn't keep in the craziness, I'm sorry that you missed it. But I hope you had fun today. I hope you learned some things about the shorts. We'll see you next week for more shorts with Goofy. So, yeah.
Bye.
See you real soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is part of Limitless Broadcasting Network. Check out our website for information about the hosts, merch, and all of our podcasts. Production for today's episode was handled by the Dream Team, Ashley Danny and Sammy Brooksby. A final special thanks to Dan. His discerning perspective is the secret ingredient that helps us see the bigger picture.
Are you intrigued by conspiracy theories and the strange, dark, and mysterious? If so, we invite you to subscribe to our new podcast, The Truth Behind the Lies, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Do you love podcasts and classic television? Do you want to listen to Secrets Uncovered, the Truth Behind the Lies podcast and rant radio, completely ad-free? At Limitless Broadcasting Network, we bring you all your favorites like The Carol Burnett Show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and I Love Lucy without any interruptions. For just $7 a month and $80 a year, you can unlock over 90 hours of quality television and podcast programming. Don't miss out. Subscribe today at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where endless entertainment awaits.
We have 9/11. It kind of reminds me of when Pearl Harbor happened. Or because that was, the president knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen before it happened. And it was just an excuse for us to get into the war. Just well, like.
They knew that these planes were going to be hijacked well before they were hijacked.
Right. And people.
I'm not so sure.
The government that. And but they would get in trouble or they would get arrested if they tried to stop it.
Well, because they needed it.
Right.
And they're, you know, I personally. Could they have put those planes into the buildings? Absolutely. Do I believe the planes are what brought down the buildings? I do not. Do I think that there was something else added to these planes as they went in? Most likely. Or did they have, you know, directed energy strikes? Did they have missiles? Did they have bombs implanted in the planes as they were flown in? I think most of the passengers on these planes were incapacitated. There were reports. I can't remember which plane it was. This lady got a phone call out. And she said there was gas coming out of the vents. She was trying to call her husband, and she was talking about there was gas coming out of the vents and people were falling unconscious. So,
we can find that. I never heard that.
You didn't hear about that one?
No, I did not hear about that. Tell me more about that.
That was covered on Alex Jones's show.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's the king of covering the 9/11 conspiracies and stuff.
It's hard to find these days.
I think a lot of the 9/11 stuff
has been scrubbed out.
Absolutely. Just looking up stuff for this episode, you find a lot of debunked conspiracy theories. You can't really find anything that actually shows you a spot for true conspiracy theories. It'll give you a list, but it'll tell you the debunked.
Right.
You know.
Right. No, I agree 100%. Looking up this, trying to figure out like what's A to B, when the president knew stuff, when he didn't know stuff, just how the buildings fell. Well, I was watching a video. Demolition. It was steel can't melt, and don't you remember
steel when can they said, melt, but not at that temperature.
So at a certain temperature, it will melt. But like when the plane hit it and they were like, all this fuel helped it melt. That's not true. It's not hot enough.
But they said that it got hot enough to weaken the steel. Okay, I'll give you that. If it weakened with the winds, it doesn't matter how calm a day it is. The wind that those buildings have hitting it at all times.
Oh, for sure.
If it weakened, it would have collapsed like that.
Right.
And it would have taken out. All kinds of people in buildings. Right. It wouldn't have come down.
It's going to collapse to the side since people can't see you. So it's going to collapse to the side.
It wouldn't have pancaked like that. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't have come like
straight down. It would have collapsed to the side.
Right. So I don't buy it. I never have. And most of the people who have heard these stories or were around during it don't believe it either.
Right.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can prove any theory. If you throw enough money at it and find the right people to scream about it, you can prove any side of your story.
Absolutely. And
I believe that they have just found, you know, quack scientists to say that, you know, the planes themselves were the ones that took down the buildings. You
right.
know what I mean? Like the jet fuel and the paper and cardboard, whatever else was inside there, was enough to bring down those buildings.
Right. Are you fighting with your dog?
I am.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is she trying to play with you?
While I'm on, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what my dogs try to do. So 9/11, what do you think their agenda was? Do you think it was overall the Patriot Act and then going into Baghdad?
I think it was a multifaceted plan. I think that in order to get everybody on board with being able to do such a...
So you needed something to happen.
In order to do some kind of attack like that and to get people on... Because, I mean, we're talking about a domestic attack.
Right.
A very large domestic attack. We're not just talking about the Twin Towers. We're talking about putting the Pentagon into it. And then the other plane that went over, what was it, Pennsylvania that went down?
Yeah, there was supposed to be like four planes.
Yep.
One went over Pennsylvania. One was going, and then they said a plane hit the Pentagon.
Yep.
But did you hear the reporter say, there's no plane here? There's right. nothing. There's no Somebody plane there. Live and on plus, here saying that.
The hole where the plane supposedly went into the Pentagon was too small.
Right.
It's too small. There's no way that a Boeing 747 would have made it that small of an impact.
Plus, right.
We're talking about DC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You mean your restricted airfields there are in DC?
Do you know how come within a certain amount of miles, they'll shoot you down, regardless if you're a commercial airline or not.
Right.
You're getting shot down.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me of a commercial plane made it that far without fighter jets being scrambled and being right alongside that thing and taking it down if they had to? No. Give me a break.
Somebody should have known about this. Like you
everybody
can't
knew about
far.
It. We're talking about radar.
Right.
Just radar. Just primitive radar. Damn plane when it was 300-400 miles away from it. They knew the trajectory it was on. They knew exactly where it was going.
Why do you think they didn't do that? Why did scramble jets and shot it down?
They did. I'm sure they did. That plane didn't hit the Pentagon. They used that as a distraction.
As a distraction for something else.
And had a missile strike that hit the Pentagon. That's the only thing that could have moved fast enough and create that kind of damage and get past our defenses and do the damage it did to the Pentagon. They used a smart bomb, a smart missile that went in there and just, boom, took it out. That was it.
Do you remember right after 9/11, any cameras, like any buildings... Like if you're a 7-Eleven and you had a camera facing in there,
it's all confiscated.
Yeah, they went in there and confiscated all the video right after the attack.
Right.
And they did it to every store.
Yes, they did.
Why would they do that? Because they want something covered up.
Yep. They're afraid of what people might see or what might get released. And during that time period, you know, our technology wasn't what it is. There was no way to instantly share it.
Right.
Today, you could. There's no way you could get away with that.
Facebook.
Right.
What was the poppin' social media platform back then? I don't even think we had one yet.
MySpace?
I think it was MySpace. Yeah. But I don't even think people were sharing this on MySpace.
No, it really wasn't much. Nobody was doing that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean, your cell phones, we still had, you know, one button scroll through your letters on top of the number to try and send a text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, yeah, that was a different time.
It's been confirmed that MySpace was the key social media back in those days. So thank you for the confirmation, Samantha. So I got a text. She was like, oh, it's MySpace.
Yep.
So can you imagine being in the building at this time? And like the people that were there.
Oh, yeah.
They were just like hopping out of the windows. What do you think their last thought was? Like, I'm going
to
die
one way or another. I'm going to die. So I'm going to go at my hands. Either I'm going to burn alive or I'm going to.
I'm assuming that's why people jumped.
Yep.
Because the fire was so. So it went into like the first plane got hit like the 52nd floor or the 60th floor. And the other plane hit like.
Well, see, the 25th
floor.
There wasn't really fire. you can watch any videos of that at all. You see some smoke,
right?
Because there is a little bit, but it's not like it was a roaring, you know, fire that was stopping people from getting out. Those planes hit stairwells. They hit elevators and stairwells. They block off those damn they blocked off the exits, so all those people were trapped.
Right. So before the actual attacks happened, I hear they were working on the elevators with armed guards around them, like days before it happened. And people are like, that's weird. Why do these technicians need all these armed guards around them while they're working?
So they could disable all the methods of escape for all these people.
Right.
You know, you can take down a building, but if you, you know, it's a tragedy if the building goes down, but it is a true disaster if the loss of human life is enormous.
Right. You know, and that's why they wanted as much loss of life that day. Almost 3,000 people were killed.
Human life means nothing to these people.
Absolutely not. Nothing. We're both expendable. Expendable.
It's not just us both. It's everybody on this planet. There are the haves and then there are the have nots. They believe that they are entitled to everything, and we are the serfs. You know, we are the ones that if you know that expression, in order to make an omelet you have to break a few eggs, we're their eggs, and they don't care how many eggs they break. I mean, they just don't. That's where human resources comes from. You know,
right.
We're just a resource.
Right. You know?
We're the dumb breeders, you know what I mean? So
right. Right. No,
that's the way they look at us.
People in the building on 9/11, the people that got out, they kept saying they heard pops, pop, 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 pop.
Uh-huh.
Before like big explosions happen.
Yeah, it's the explosions. It's the it was the explosives going off, getting ready to detonate the building so it could drop, taking out the support beams. It happens at any demolition.
If you look at like when they tore down the Wind or the Stardust from the casino out in Vegas, it went down the same way the towers went down. Yeah, the same identical thing. And then they say, no, a plane did this.
Nope. There's no way. And I mean, anybody who's a rational thinker, I mean, you don't even have to be the smartest person on the planet. If you just look at it logically,
right?
There's no way that that makes sense to you. It doesn't matter how many times this is the definition of gaslighting. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And people that actually believe that this happened, I mean, I believe the tragedy happened. I believe the disaster happened.
Right.
That is not, but it's the method that they used to create this disaster.
Right.
And they did it to us. And our own government was complicit in doing this.
Well, it's not the first time the government has been complicit to do things like.
No, not at all.
In Cuba, they were trying to get us into war in Cuba. They were thinking about hijacking some bus and like killing a bunch of people and saying the Cubans did it. And that would have got us to go out to war with Fidel Castro.
Yep.
But for some reason, that didn't happen. Pearl Harbor was an inside job. They knew exactly when the bombs were going to be. I mean, that's confirmed to this day. What else? I mean, the list can go on and on. It kind of reminds me of what we did to the Indians. We were friends with them. And then we gave them all these blankets full of smallpox and everything. And we just wanted their land.
Right.
And so it's kind of something like that.
100% it is.
So what do you think the outcome has been from all this?
The Gulf of Tonkin. That was another one that got us into Vietnam.
Explain that one for the viewers.
For the viewers, Gulf of Tonkin?
Yeah.
It was let's see. Get it right. It's where the United States forces were carrying out covert amphibious operations on the North Vietnamese, and they were blaming it on others to get us into it.
Okay.
To get our involvement in Vietnam, because we were trying to stay out of it.
Right, we were trying to stay neutral.
Yep.
It
was kind of the same with World War II, you know? We were staying out of that one.
I know, I agree. And then
Pearl Harbor hit, and we were in the war.
Yeah. And that they knew exactly if that happened, there would be an outcry of support. And then Americans, have you ever noticed if something happens to this country, we come together, Americans come together and want to fight.
Yeah.
That's one thing that they weren't counting on, especially with 9/11. The unity of being an American was so strong, especially after it went down. Oh, I'm a proud American, and everybody hanging up their flags. They counted on that.
They knew that. They knew that was going to happen. They knew that that was the perfect. They use predictive programming. They know exactly what it takes to push people to get the desired reaction that they want. They knew exactly what to do to get us right where they wanted us. We hook, line, and sinker agreed to the Patriot Act.
Oh, absolutely. We begged for it.
We had that security now, but yes, we gave up all kinds of liberties for it.
They can legally spy on us without warrants. Yeah, they can enter our property without warrants. If they think you're a terrorist, they can hold you indefinitely without going to court because of the Patriot Act.
Well, you got to really read these things because they can't just do this stuff. But it's real easy to classify you as something. It's real easy. I mean, you'd be surprised how loosely they use domestic terror. You know what I mean? They can put that title on anybody basically.
Well,
because it doesn't take very much to be called a domestic terrorist because all you are is
ties into the 9/11 as well.
Ish. Yes. He found out the truth about what was going on with the country, and then he decided he was going to do some rectification for it.
And that's how, right.
But, I mean, that's one version of it. The other version is he was an MK Ultra.
True.
You know, he was, what's the word I'm looking for? He was a
Manchurian candidate.
Well, under MK Ultra,
you can.
He was one of the. They just used that kind of mind control programming, round him up, sent him in there, and let him do his thing. I mean, he was the perfect patsy for it.
Right. I mean, we definitely should do an episode on the Oklahoma City bombing because that indirectly ties into all of this. We'll see what you think.
Right.
There's so many, like all these conspiracies are so convoluted. They're all interconnected.
Well, the problem with 9/11 was that so many people died for
greed.
It was greed. I mean,
it was over greed.
It was greed for some. It was over power control and, you know, the ability to spy on us all by some. It was over a family's, you know, butthurt philosophies, you know, that they wanted to get in there and get their name back, you know. Mm-hmm. But also there were items in Iraq that other power structures wanted control of.
Right.
You know, Iraq is supposedly, you know, had a working Stargate, and whoever has control of those Stargates has control of a lot of things. That's interdimensional travel right there.
Right.
Not to mention all the antiquities that proved where civilization began and where we came from. And the truth behind the Anunnaki. And
yeah, that's exactly right. You're talking about the Anunnaki.
And those who control that kind of stuff control the true power. I mean, greed and family vendettas and things like that, that's minor stuff. But it's when you get into the real things, the beginning of our species, you know?
Right.
Controlling the actual
world.
Controlling the implements that help these interdimensional beings go back and forth. You know?
Right.
That's a pretty profound power to have control of. And to have a working one. And I've heard that it's not the only working one, and there's a few of them in the world.
Where would be another one?
That was an easy one for us to get to, because it was already in a conflict area, so that was easy for us to get to.
Was that in the green zone?
Do what?
Was that in the green zone? I feel like it was. I feel like they made a movie that it was like looking for weapons of mass destruction and they cleared it. But the reason why they went in there was because of the Stargate.
Oh, well, they've made movies about all kinds of stuff like that. But the only weapons of mass destruction were what was found in these libraries and in these museums. And the true information, you know, because the things that were there could have destroyed religion
and brought it down to his knees.
Religion is the main way to control the population.
Right.
I mean, they've been doing it for a millennia. So if you could topple religions by uncovering what was actually documented in there, you know, physically there, just needing to be shown to people, they're never going to let that out.
You know absolutely what I mean?
There's no way. The churches make too much money and have too much control over people. And can you imagine what would happen to people if they were to find out that, you know, their belief system isn't exactly what they think it is? And I'm not here to argue theology with anybody like that. I mean, believe what you want to. That's a great thing about this world. You can believe anything you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there are those who believe in that. What is it? The flying spaghetti monster thing. So
you lost me on that. This flying spaghetti monster. What's that?
What are they? Pastafarians?
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see.
We don't know.
Yeah, Pastafarianism, also known as the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I'm saying
you can believe in whatever you want.
Right,
to,
right.
But if there is proof of the origin, you know, the origination of our species in the Middle East, you know,
they're never going to let that out.
That's not going to be something that is ever going to see the light of day.
Absolutely not.
Not just I mean, that's like when they went to Egypt. Every time there's a major archaeological find in Egypt, the governments go in there first.
Right.
And they see what's there before it's allowed to be released to any museum or anywhere like that.
Right.
The Smithsonian is controlled by the government.
And it's very
Have so much stuff that'll never be seen by anybody.
Just like the Vatican does too.
The Vatican's archives are books.
I hear they have a working time machine that they can look into the past. They have goggles that you look in and you can see the past and what happened. And it's at the Vatican. They have things sealed off that they'll never bring up. You know?
I do know what you're talking about.
That came out couple years ago. A whistleblower came out and was like, yeah, there's a working time machine there. I can't remember what it's actually called.
Chronovisor.
Yes.
The chronovisor.
That you can look at the past.
Well, I'm not saying they do and I'm not saying they don't, but if they go through such trouble to debunk and make sure that we don't ever get the chance to see any of these things, you know, it makes me think that maybe there's some truth to it.
So you don't ever think there'll be a time where all this stuff, it just comes out and says, yep, aliens are real. Everything that we've came out and said is a lie. There's people on Mars. Well, we have bases on Mars. All this.
They're working on. I mean, there are some things that are coming out that they have to. It's just getting too hard to control. The way the genie is almost out of the bottle and they can't put it back in. They're starting to have to. Extraterrestrials. They're slowly starting to admit.
They're there. They're real.
They've told us for 100 years that, you know, there's no such thing as aliens, you know, don't believe this, don't believe that. If they go back and completely say, you know what, hey, we lied to you, this is what we found, this is what's here, they lose all credibility. People will be in an uproar.
Right.
There's too many people that are too invested in it. You still have a large majority of the public that will believe hook, line, and sinker whatever the government tells them. And even the ones that do question a little bit are still in the back of their mind like, well, no, there's no way they would actually lie to us, you know, because they're our government. They're for us, you know, and we get new people in there. So how could they pop? Because everybody has a way to be controlled.
Right.
It doesn't matter who you are. If you make it into politics, they've got a way to control you.
Right.
They're going to find a way to control you. They're going to find some way to gather incriminating evidence or get you in a compromising scenario.
Something. Everybody can be blackmailed.
And you are going to be under their control. And for most people, it's money. There's no way that these people go into public office, you know, barely rubbing two nickels together and coming out multimillionaires.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
they're being paid to keep their mouth shut.
Well, not necessarily mouth shut. It's to push whatever line they want.
Or
it doesn't
agenda.
Matter if it's pushing that, you know, 9/11 was, you know, a terroristic operation, and it was buildings were brought down by planes, and Building 7 was brought down by, you know, a piece of paper was on fire and caught the right draft and blew through the window and came down. You know, it started. Who knows?
What but did they?
They can always
about?
Find somebody to do that.
What did they say about Building 7 and why it came down?
They obfuscated that one. They never really gave anything.
But people just filled in the blanks and they were like, well, obviously something happened.
Yeah.
Nobody pushed that topic.
It was pushed, but it wasn't pushed on. If it was pushed on like the news or something like that, it was always shifted to another topic real quick.
Right.
You were always cut off. You were always spoken over, you know. Nothing was ever, the only time it was ever talked about or pushed was through, you know, a conspiracy related show or somebody who was trying to bring upon a different topic or different
narrative.
Viewpoint. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but they would always make that person look crazy because they're just like, this can't be real. This is what the government said has happened. But if you look at the cold hard facts, it just doesn't add up.
Well, and that was the thing with Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones has a lot of very, very good information on these topics. He put in a lot of legwork on it. Problem is, he's a very eccentric person, and he got wrapped up. You know what I mean? He gave him an inch to run on with him being crazy, and it discounted everything things he brought up before. But this guy.
Subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com to finish listening to the episode ad-free.